At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids spending and saving while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I'm going to have Matt Stevens on. We will be talking about the Illini spring game, which occurred on Friday night instead of the original Thursday night, which was going to be on the Big Ten Network. Coach Bielema did not want to waste a practice where you get out there and have it canceled because of weather, and then you cannot make that day up when you only have 15. So, stay tuned. Matt Stevens is going to join us in just a minute.
At Busey Wealth Management, we're proud to partner with individuals, families, and foundations, ensuring possibilities become achievements. From preserving and enhancing your assets to securing your legacy for future generations, we're focused on your success. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
And as promised, we have Matt Stevens, the Illini Guys staff reporter, who has just witnessed the event that didn't happen, the Illini spring game, canceled from Thursday night and Big Ten Network coverage, onto Friday night into some limbo zone that we don't really know if it really happened or it didn't happen. No stats, and just an opportunity for fans to see a little bit of the team. Matt, the first question that comes up, everybody's going to ask it, is how did Luke Altmaier do, and what are your thoughts heading into, they've got a little bit of a more of a weightlifting conditioning time, coming up here. How did he look, and any thoughts going into that?
I thought Luke looked really good. I was telling you, Mike Kegley, before we started this broadcast, that in my best Tony Kornheiser impression, I'll give you the list of quarterbacks that took first team reps tonight. Luke Altmaier. That's it. That's the list. So when Bob Osmussen of the News Champaign News Gazette asks, "Hey, Brett, are you going to name a quarterback?" and he says no, this is the privilege of being the head collegiate football coach at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He has the privilege to name the quarterback whenever he wants to. I'm telling you, the starting quarterback of the Illinois Fighting Illini, when they play the defending MAC champions on September 2nd in Memorial Stadium in Champaign, will be Luke Altmaier. Barring Luke Altmaier forgetting how to play football between now and fall camp and or getting hurt.
Right.
And that leads me into two things. One is I thought Luke looked really good. There was an out and up throw that he made to Pat Bryant that was very, very Tommy DeVito to Pat Bryant-esque. It was adamant that that's one of the things that Luke Altmaier likes is, basically throwing a one-on-one out and up to a receiver on the other side of the field because he feels like he can zip it in there with his arm strength, and he can. And the arm strength is not, I still don't think it's where Tommy's was out of the box, but I think we're getting there. And I think that Luke will continue to get better and more confident in this Barry Lenny offense that I thought tonight showcased a lot of the things that Luke does really, really well, which is process information and make essentially even the right read. I saw Luke make some wonky throws, but they ended with the ball on the ground and not in the arms of a defenseman. At the end of the day, that's not the worst bad thing that can happen, but there were a lot of good things that happened. He made some throws to Pat Bryant. He made a throw to Casey Washington. He made a throw in the red zone on a, I think it was a 12-yard touchdown pass to Casey Washington that Illinois fans are going to want to see because they want the red zone offense to produce more touchdowns instead of field goals. I'm thinking out of the first team and in some instances out of the second team, you saw that. I didn't see a whole lot of offensive line breakdown, especially with the first string, just like the open scrimmage that we were saying that we saw 2 weeks ago. You know, former Chicago Bear and Pro Bowl center Olin Kreutz can leave pretty happy because I think his son did a pretty darn good job at center again. And I don't know if Illinois is going to continue to try to recruit over him in the portal, but I think that they have a pretty solid technical guy that they can do a lot of cool things with in the run game and in the pass and in a pass protection. They should feel pretty good about it going into fall camp. I thought Josh Kreutz had a good night. And then they obviously got, you know, your gems, your left-sided gems out of there, which is Isaiah Adams at left guard and Julian Pearl at left tackle. And I thought, we'll get to this later on, but I thought one of the offensive linemen that really stood out to me is the same one that's kind of stood out to Barry Lunney and Brett Bielema all spring, which is true freshman Brandon Henderson. I'm not saying he's going to play a snap this year, but he had reps with the second team. He had reps with the Devo team. And then when they took Julian Pearl out, he had a couple of series with the first team, and he didn't look ultimately that bad. And he didn't look like he was 19 years old. I think you have a future left tackle in the wings when Julian Pearl's ready to go to the NFL. I saw a lot of good things tonight out of him. I think the run game is finally going to be able to incorporate three running backs. I've always been skeptical of that, even though that's what Brett Bielema's bread and butter was when he had things rocking and rolling at Wisconsin. I think that even without Chase Brown now, I think that Thad Ward and Barry Lunney are going to be able to, you know, mix and match this running game with whoever is going to emerge as that third tailback. You saw some really good things tonight out of Jordan Anderson, especially after halftime. Before halftime, Mike, they went thud, which is don't tackle to the ground, because they had their starters in, and I would say the diamonds of their starters. You know, your Isaiah Williams is the two guys on the left side of your offensive line and the law firm at defensive line. Once they got those guys out of the game after halftime, they went full tackle football. Now I'm saying that because, you know, you had a situation where I thought, you know, the running backs were really able to showcase themselves, like a Jordan Anderson was able to run over some people, like I saw him do at Joliet Catholic his senior year when he ran for over 230 yards in the state title game. And won a state championship in that stadium at Memorial Stadium. If it's him that emerges, if they want the home run hitter either out of the backfield or catching some passes out of the backfield, which you saw in Aiden Loffrey tonight, that's an option. Or I'm telling you right now, I saw a lot of Caden Feagan with the second team unit. And I'm not saying he's going to get a whole lot of playing time come August and September when we start rolling this thing for the 2023 season. But maybe by week four or week five or week six, when he's fully in depth in the playbook and he has now a whole spring and now a whole fall camp and a whole fall season, half of a fall season under his belt, that's somebody just like Melvin Gordon was his true freshman season under Brett Bielema in 2012. That's somebody who could really emerge later on in the year when he's ready to play. And kind of like the way that Brett Bielema treated Josh McCray 2 years ago as a true freshman. He wasn't ready for the opener. He wasn't ready for maybe the first month of the year, but he was ready for that game against Purdue and went for 150 yards. And when Brett Bielema gets a sense of when Caden Feagan's ready to go at tailback, I saw some things tonight that were really, really impressive that lead me to believe that he's going to have a really good career at Illinois when he finally puts it all together. I think the other thing I saw on I'll switch it up and talk about defense, which is one of these days I'm going to learn how to fully pronounce his name. Brett calls him KO. I might just go with that. But Kiana Nduglia, who I just know I butchered his last name, and I apologize to him and his mom and his dad and all the family and friends. But the kid from the unrecruited kid out of out of Mount Carmel, who came to Illinois as a H-back and halfback, I think they're going to be able to use him in a lot of cool ways. With Isaac Darkangelo now going to the NFL, there's going to be an inside backer spot that's going to be open at Illinois. And he got a lot of reps in that spot, which isn't surprising because Calvin Hart Jr. was inactive tonight. But what I saw that was surprising was they had him lined up as an outside backer pass rusher as well. And I think his versatility as just what he was, you know, manufactured and proclaimed to be by his coaches at Mount Carmel to Brett Bielema was, hey, he's just a good football player. You decide where you want to play him. And I think that Aaron Henry and Charlie Bullen and Andy Boo are going to have a lot of fun figuring out how he mixes in with the 11 guys on defense, because I think you're going to want him out on the field just because he's that good of an athlete. Brett Bielema described it perfectly to me. He's not very tall, but he's long, if that makes any sense. And what that means is that his legs are long and his arms are long, but if you put a measuring stick up at him, he's probably 6 feet, you know, 6 foot one and a half, 6'2". But, you know, if he's going to rush on the outside, he looks like he's 6'5". If you need him to run sideline to sideline, he looks like the tailback that he was at Mount Carmel. So I thought he had a really, really good night. And because Illinois, again, didn't test the vertical passing game, because, I mean, again, that's still a work in progress under Barry Lunney. I don't think the secondary play looked bad, but I don't think that they were tested in a way that I think they're going to get tested here, especially at the start of the season when you're starting to play high-quality competition, whether that's at the G5 level with the defending MAC champion Toledo Rockets on September 2nd or your first road trip to Kansas, who under Lance Leipold has done a hell of a rebuilding job there. So I think you're going to see the secondary continue to rework things and figure out where the chess pieces need to go, and that's part of what fall camp's going to be about too. But I think that they don't have to put their – you know, they're not going to put their head on a pillow tonight and think, boy – what are we going to do? Because Devin Witherspoon and Travius Martin and Sidney Brown are walking out of that door, and Kendall Smith's not there anymore either. I think they're going to feel good about who they put out there tonight, considering the fact that also Matthew Bailey has always been inactive this spring and won't return until summer workouts. But when he does return, that's just an added piece to what I saw was a lot of moving parts in the secondary.
One question, if we want to start a controversy, who's going to be the starting tailback this year?
Can I just put Reggie Love and Josh McCray together and make it like Reggie McCray? Like, I don't mean to bail on the question, Mike Cagley, but I think that they're going to use a thunder and lightning combination. I really do. I wrote a story that's in the archives at IlliniGuys.com that when Brett Bielema had this thing rocking and rolling, that he had a guy named Monty Ball. And then he had a guy, you know, named John Clay. And then he had a guy named Melvin Gordon. And all of those guys, you know, produced 400 yards of rushing and hung more than half a hundred on a Bo Pelini defense in the Big Ten title game. And the guy that had the most yards in that game was Melvin Gordon off 9 carries. And he didn't win MVP of that game. Another running back did. So I think that Brett Bielema, like I said, I think Brett Bielema and Thad Ward and Barry Lunney, the offensive coordinator, are going to figure out how to do this where, you know, your leading rusher might have 100 yards, but Illinois might have 230 yards rushing because two other guys accounted for, you know, the other 105, right? And so, I feel like he was the lead character in 48 hours, but like if I can put Reggie McCray like together or you know Josh Love, like I think that's my answer because I think there will be a day where, look, Reggie Love is just so consistent, and I think they know they can put him out there. And one, Luke Altmaier is not going to get killed on pass plays, and two, this is a guy that got 4 yards of carry in the bowl game, even though, you know, people looked and went like, hey, we didn't run the ball as well because Chase wasn't there. And then if Josh McCray can stay healthy, I think he's your thunder component to that. And the guy
Did Josh look confident? Yes.
Yeah. One of the, yes. And I'll tell you the one play that made me kind of go, wow, was, look, it's a walk-on that he did it with, but he leaped over a walk-on and on his way to like a 15-yard run on a play. What I think it's going to be interesting. And then there was another play where, okay, so they go tackle to the ground after halftime. And he got smashed by like three guys, goes to the ground. And me, I'm thinking, get up, zero, get up. I mean, because every time it seemed like he went to the ground last year, we had a problem. And he bounced up and kind of did the whole rolling of his shoulders thing. And it was like, hey, I want another touch, right? And he does, if he does that thing, okay, now we're good. No, he looks bouncy. And I feel like the injury concern bug is always going to be there for Josh until he gets through, you know, three-fourths of a season like he did his freshman year and is okay. But I think that there's going to be – I'm going to have something. I don't know when it's going to be, but I sat down for just 5 minutes with Barry Lunny. And I'm gonna kind of geek scheme this for you, Mike Cagley, because I think there's going to be a lot of versatility in what Illinois can do in the run game this year. Specifically because I think they feel like they're more athletic and they're more technically sound at the guard, at some of the guard positions and at center, believe it or not. Alex Pilstrom did a hell of a job at center. They think Josh Crooks is a better athlete, which means if we want to do the pin pull stuff, and I'll detail what that is, but it's literally the center and a guard, you know, pin and pulling and getting to the second level of a defense. They feel that they can maybe do that a little bit more with those kind of run plays, especially with a Josh McCray, where when you saw them do the barge package 2 years ago against Penn State, that was really effective. I mean, and you had Doug Kramer and Alex Palcheski getting into the alley. That's stuff that they can do. And you saw a little bit of that tonight, believe it or not, especially, but then when they do the gap stuff, you know, Reggie Love was getting into the creases, and quite frankly, Caden Feagan was getting into the creases and doing some damage. And, you know, he just runs like a deer, man. Like, he runs like a guy that has long strided sprinter steps. I mean, and so I think the most consistent guy in that room right now is Reggie Love. I think the thumper that they probably are going to start with is Josh McCray. And I think it's interesting to see which direction they go with that third running back. Is it going to be another big time thumper like Jordan Anderson, or is it going to be a home run hitter type with speed like Aiden Loffrey?
And how did special teams look?
It was interesting. I don't think either of the freshmen who are going to be on scholarship are going to win that job. I think that the veterans are going to, you know, stand pat and keep that job, meaning Caleb Griffin and Hugh Robertson, the freshmen being David Alano and Declan Dooley. All four of them look pretty good. Caleb Griffin, was it 52? It might have been 52 or 54 yards that they tried against a rush, and he double doinked it. But it almost had enough leg into the wind. So the leg is fine for Caleb. David Alano is really consistent. I think he's going to be a good kicker by the time Caleb finally leaves Illinois, which he's like one of those basketball guys, Mike Calgary, you think that's been there for 8 years. Like, that's Caleb Griffin by now. I promise you this is Caleb Griffin's last year of eligibility. When he leaves, I think David Alano is going to be great. I have to go back into my notes, and I don't know if I just missaw something. Like, I don't know if that's a word, but it is tonight.
Yeah.
I thought I saw Caleb Griffin punt, and I don't think he's going to be the punter, but I even looked around and I looked at Lauren Tate and I'm like, what is this about? Hugh Robertson looked really, really good. I mean, if he doesn't shank it, his leg strength is pretty good. Like, his numbers are bad, or were not bad. They were average because you had the shanks in there. Like, and he knows, hey, I got the shanks and cost us a game, probably not one, maybe two. Like, the Indiana game and the Michigan State game was the one he pointed out to me. He said, hey, I got to do better than that. Like, I can't have that type of day, right? But he looked good. He looked really, really good. The thing with I saw is Sean Miller was not in a green jersey, so he was eligible to be touched. He was taking punt returns, which I think is going to be great for his athleticism he adds an element to the wide receiver room as well, depth wise. But he fumbled a punt, and the reason he fumbled it was punted by Declan Dooley. And I now understand what Brett Bielema and Robbie Disher have been talking about with left-footed punter. The ball just spins differently. Yep. And it's really confusing for the returner. I'm really glad that Illinois gets to take a look at that. But I think Hugh Robertson and Caleb Griffin win those jobs. All I can tell you is that I'm not entirely sure that, you know, last year I think Rizzio Penton was a guy that they felt good about doing doing kickoff, especially when Caleb was hurt. I'm not saying that that can't be David Alano's spot if they want to save the leg of you know, Caleb Griffin for long field goal attempts or something like that. But I don't know that Caleb was good in that too, but they may find a role for some of these scholarship kickers that they have. But I thought special teams in what they were doing, like Brett Bielema said, he wanted a clean scrimmage, and for the most part, he got one.
Good, good. Any other anything that Brett had to say in the post game?
Yeah, he was really happy with quarterback play. He was really happy with his depth at running back. That's been a no doubter since the entire spring. You know, I pointed out Brandon Henderson, and he kind of led me on with, yeah, that kid is the real deal. And it's interesting, Mike, because, and you've seen this on the basketball side in terms of recruiting, especially with what you do with AAU. So there was three guys that ended up going to Power Five conference programs out of that East St. Louis offensive line. And I'm telling you that Brett Bielema got pointed out by the East St. Louis head coach, Brandon Henderson, and said, that's your guy. Like, this guy's ranked higher. This guy's bigger. That's your guy. And I'm not entirely sure, and I don't know, because like Miles McVay was a five-star guy, and I think he signed with Alabama. If he didn't, I know he went there. I'm telling you, there's a chance that over three or four years, or if he redshirts, maybe 4 or 5 years, Brandon Henderson might be the best of the bunch, and that's kind of a clear example of what Brett Bielema is trying to do with recruiting. With, like, I don't care what you want this kid to be ranked or what you have this kid ranked. I'm going to take him because I trust my scouting eye, and I trust this Illinois high school football coach that says he needs to play for you. And, you know, and you might get the higher ranked guys as time goes on. Look, Travis Frederick, I remember covering him at Bigfoot High School near Sun Prairie, before he went to Wisconsin and played for Brett Bielema. He was a high 4-star guy, like coming out of Wisconsin High School. You may get some of those guys later on in life, trust me. But I'm not entirely sure that Brett Bielema didn't get the best East St. Louis offensive lineman in that regard. I will tell you that your boy Bryce Barnes picked up the Tim. I think it's I'm gonna butcher the name. If you want to yell it out to me, Mike, but the Secret Service agent that's a U of I grad that like took the bullet for Ronald Reagan.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. McMillan, is that it? Bryce Barnes got that scholarship tonight. So I thought that was a cool thing, even though he was inactive, because we all know he has that shoulder surgery. He got named for that scholarship. That was really cool at halftime. I think the
Tim McCarthy.
Thank you. Yep. I'm sorry, Tim.
No,
really,
that's
sorry.
Fine. That's the beauty of the internet. And of course, Bryce Barnes was one of my Illinois War Eagles players back in his high school days at Gibson City. And the kid is a phenomenal hand-eye coordination.
Yes.
He can play any sport. And God help you if you want to play him in a one-on-one first-person shooter on the Xbox, because you die before you know that the game started. And he is a kid who just wins. And we would play in AAU games. you would, when you were in a crunch time, you wanted him on the court because he found a way to get to the basket or get the ball when you needed him to do it the most.
And I think he's going to have an impact as a guy that can come off the bench for the law firm at the defensive line and play an impact once he gets fully healthy and cleared. And that should happen by June. So there's a guy that I think is increasing the depth at defensive line. What I will also say before we leave, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. Hank Beattie had a really good night. Again, another guy that I think they're going to have to find ways to get him on the field because there's a pretty special talent named Isaiah Williams that's ahead of him at the depth chart at slot receiver. But there might be an instance where, you know, Hank Beattie might need to be outside because he's just that consistent. And there's something about him that just screams winner, screams consistency. And when you throw him the football, good things happen. First of all, positive things happen. He catches it and he doesn't fumble it. And there's a basicness of he's just a really good football player. So he's not going to miss blocks. He's not going to take plays off. And, you know, I'm just telling you, I think that there's going to have to be situations in which he might have to be out on the field with Isaiah because he just plays his way into the lineup. So wide receiver depth continues to be a concern for me simply because, well, Malik Elzey was there tonight in street clothes because he's not he was not eligible for spring. He did not graduate early. He was there tonight for the game. It's going to be hard for him and Colin Dixon to come in and learn the playbook and learn everything that has to learn about playing receiver at college at that level. But they could make an impact as a true freshman, you know, later on in the season because of the depth issues. I think that Illinois continues to have an outside receiver. But I do think that, you know, Hank Beattie is somebody that I think is just a winner flat out. You could ask anybody at Rochester or anybody at his high school. He's just a winner. Like, and I'm telling you, he had a good night with the second team offense. And then I'll just leave it at this, is that we always want to talk about the quarterbacks. You know, I've been, what's the nice way to say, underwhelmed with John Paddock, simply because I drastically underestimated physically how small he is, even though he started 12 games at Ball State. He did some really cool things tonight with the twos versus twos. And then they did something interesting after halftime where it was sometimes twos versus ones that were sprinkled with some twos sprinkled in, because obviously the law firm was out and Tyreek Barnes was out. But it's still kind of twos in the secondary and, you know, twos sprinkled in throughout the entire outside linebackers and stuff. He let him down to a touchdown drive with Jordan Anderson. So, you know, he's got some moxie, he's got some confidence. What I'll say is I think for the first time in the Brett Bielema era, they feel pretty darn good about backup quarterback and they feel pretty darn good about third string quarterback, which is something they have not been able to say consistently throughout the Brett Bielema era. So that was a positive element to things. And I thought, you know, the defense, when you can't really blitz and you can't really do anything, I thought it was a good night for the secondary. And I'll just say this. I think Aaron Henry, Big Ten coaches are going to, you're going to start, Big Ten coaches, Mike, are going to start to say the quiet thing out loud. Aaron Henry is doing a spectacular job with these young guys in teaching them how to be physical and not have it get flagged every time. Like Aaron Henry I think Aaron Henry is one of the better defensive coaches, especially one of the better secondary coaches in the country. And why do I think that? Because what is the one thing he tells his secondary guys, i.e. Devin Witherspoon, i.e. Dartavius Martin? And what did he tell his secondary guys in the bowl game when Witherspoon and Sidney Brown weren't out there? They can't call you for a pass interference on every play. Like, so be physical, like get handsy. Like I'm telling, and I think that's one of the things that Aaron Henry has taken advantage of the rule book with. And I think that he's starting to teach that to his younger guys, who a lot of these guys are Florida guys and they've been playing football since they were 5 or 6 years old. And so the competitiveness is there. And so you're talking about guys like Xavier Scott, talking about guys like, McCantos, who I saw make some really, really good plays. you're talking about some guys, you know, in that secondary that I think can make an impact early on. Taz Nicholson looked really, really good. He's been hampered by a hand thing through halfway through spring. He looked fine tonight. And so I think that, you know, I think Illinois is going to win a lot of games defensively up front, but I don't think they're going to be as hindered in the back as people think they're going to be, especially later on in the year when they get their feet wet, maybe in the first month of the year, the first month of the season.
Perfect. Well, we really appreciate you staying up this late and doing this before you get on the road and have to get a couple stories for the fans to read on Saturday.
This is no problem, Mike. I got a intensive scrim. Look, I didn't get MIB'd and flashy thinged like as I left the stadium. So you'll get a pretty comprehensive scouting report of actually what did happen in the non-televised, non-radio broadcast spring scrimmage of 2013 of the Brett Bielema era. And they did a lot of cool stuff. And then, yeah, I'll have something else about, you know, why tonight wasn't the last day of spring. And there's going to be a cleanup day. And I think that's going to be actually Saturday, where just like they will during the fall, we go play a game on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we have review day and we get everything cleaned up before we start the rest of the week. Before these guys get out through the end of spring, they're going to be back out on the field on Saturday and cleaning up all the mistakes they made. And that will be the end of the spring. It just won't be in front of anybody. But Brett Bielema does that in a very, very educational way again. And I think it's really beneficial. That guy, I'll say this about that guy. I really think if you give him, and I think, Mike, you and I both agree on this, that's the Belichickian in him. Like, if you give him 15 set practices, he's going to get everything he can out of those 15 set practices. And I'll say this about the people that were maybe disappointed about, you know, having it not be on TV and having it moved a day. I really understood why when I started talking with Bielema after the scrimmage, where he actually explained to me, which makes total sense. Mike, if they'd have gotten out there on Thursday for 10 minutes and then it's lightning and it's just pouring down rain and they were done, that's your practice day. Boom, yep. You're done. Like that's practice 14. You never get that back. So if you move it back a day and then you can do 2 hours in good weather, again, that's just more efficient. And I'm telling you, that guy knows how to get 15 practices of efficiency in. And again, that's just the Belichickian. We have a plan of action here for our 15 days of spring. And then he's going to have a plan of action here for summer workouts, you know, starting after the draft. You know, he's got to get his passport updated because he's going to go to Kansas City for Witherspoon's draft night. And then he's going to head to Canada for the Brown Brothers draft day the next day. And Aaron Henry will be in Florida for Dartavius Martin. After that, I think that Brett Bielema feels like he's not only going to have to start recruiting because now they have two commitments in this 24 class, but also he's going to have to figure out summer workouts and he'll have a plan for that too.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Matt. And we appreciate that. And of course, next week we will have plenty more on the Eye on the Illini as the transfer portal in basketball is still there and it's simmering. We'll have a lot of coverage of that. And of course, this weekend, the big AAU basketball season for high schoolers starts. So there's going to be a lot of things to talk about. We'll be right back after this commercial message.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini, member FDIC.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of Eye on the Illini. If you want to go to IlliniGuys.com and subscribe so that you can get all of the inside information, simply go there, register. It's $99 a year, the best money you'll ever spend. Go back into the forums or the message boards, and you will get stuff beyond anything that's in our stories. It will give you all the inside scoop, how the sausage is made for recruiting. Fantastic stuff. And of course, we also have our Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's our 2-hour radio extravaganza across the state of Illinois. All you need to do is look at IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and find the city and the day of the week, Friday or Saturday, the station it's on and the time, and you can tune in and listen to Brad, Larry, and myself, along with Matt and Ked. We talk about Illini sports. We have some great guests. It's a lot of fun. And finally, we have our family of podcasts, Sturdy for 30, Ked's Recruiting Roundup, this one, Eye on the Illini. You can also listen to the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's released on Saturday at noon after all the stations have played it. And you can listen to our national show, Big Sports Radio, at noon as well, after all the stations across the country have played it as well. So there's a lot of stuff that you can listen to. We would love to have you give us a 5-star review, and we hope you enjoy yourself, get some time away from the problems of the world and the problems of the day to listen to Illini sports or Big Ten sports or big sporting events that are coming up. With that, I will say, go Illini!
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back-to-school savings are officially in session at Tanger Outlets. Shop tax-free July 30th through August 8th and save up to 70% off the latest school styles. The best of apparel, footwear, accessories, and more. Save at Nike Factory Store, American Eagle, Gap Outlet, Crocs, Under Armour, Banana Republic Factory, and hundreds more. There's always something happening. Discover the latest fun and events all season long. Tanger Outlets, your savings destination.